Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. I'm Veronica McMillan, your host for tonight. My co-host, Francine Humphrey, will not be on the line with us tonight, but we have an absolute wonderful show for you all tonight, and I'll be bringing this young lady on in just a few minutes. But before I bring her on, I really want to talk to you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. Issues Concerning Women basically is an organization that focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the area of business, career, housing, finance, and life skills. And, of course, the president and founder of that organization is my co-host, which is who's not with me tonight, is Francine Humphrey. And, of course, yours truly, I'm Veronica McMillan, the president and founder of the Micro Nonprofit Network. We help small organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. The mission for both Francine and myself, our vision is just to empower women through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing in retirement, exercise, entrepreneurship, relationship building, adult literacy, everything that we can do to empower women and the community, we try to do. Before I bring my guest on, I just want to thank our listening audience for listening to us every Thursday night at 6:30. We can't do this without you all. We appreciate those of you all who are around the United States and also those who are abroad. We so appreciate you, and we are blessed to have you on. We also just want to remember those federal workers who are also suffering because of the craziness in our government, and we just pray that this thing will be over in a little while. But tonight what I want to do, this segment is for emerging sheroes and entrepreneurs, and this young lady that I'm going to bring on the line is an absolute one, I believe, as an emerging entrepreneur and a mom. Her name is Tanya Stately, and I'm going to bring her on so that you all can kind of get an opportunity to hear from this young lady how powerful she is. We had a conversation about a week or so ago, and I wanted her to share. She's my shero for tonight. And so when you understand from her story, you will know what I'm saying. And so with no further ado, Miss Tanya Stately, are you on the line, ma'am?
Hello, hello, hello. Tanya Rollins Shadley is in the building. How y'all doing?
We're doing absolutely wonderful. As I said, Tanya, you basically touched my heart in a conversation that you and I had a week or so ago, and I wanted to have you on the show. Well, of course, we are technology-based, and so we have our telephones and the show and all that stuff, and so if we go off air, we'll just call back in, but I usually like to say that. But I wanted you to share because your story touched me in a way that that I haven't been touched before in a while, and I wanted you to share your story about your son, and then we'll move on to the other questions that I have for you. So this hour, you all, basically, we're not going to take any phone calls. I really want to give this hour totally to Tanya, and so that she'll be able to tell you more about what she's doing. She's going to put out her handles so that you all can connect with her later. But Tanya, tell us a little bit about how you got into this, the needs of your child and all of that, and then we'll just continue to go on. And thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm greatly appreciative for the opportunity to be able to share our story and our journey thus far. So my name is Tanya, and I've been just background a little bit on my story. My husband and I have been together since high school sweethearts. Melvin Shadley, shout out to my baby. But we were fine. Everything was good. High school, we got married, had our first son, who was Malik, and who actually turns 12 on tomorrow. So happy birthday to Malik.
Happy birthday.
Pregnancy was fine. First kid, I ate whatever I wanted. I had fun with it, and everything was good. Delivery was fine. I had them delivered by C-section. We got home. Uh-huh. Everything was fine. We were in that fifth week of being home, and I was headed back to work after 6 weeks. And I looked at him, and I said, okay, something's not right. I didn't know what it was, but my mommy gut was telling me something is off. And so I basically just kind of kept an eye on him. I called to the doctor, the pediatrician office, and I said, hey, you know, he's a little fussy, but he's eating fine. You know, he's going to the bathroom fine and everything. So I just wanted to kind of check in. I said, okay, well, does he have a fever? I'm like, no. Does he have diarrhea? No. Is he vomiting? No. Okay, if any of those three things change, call us, and we'll get him in immediately. Okay, thank you. So this was on Monday. By Wednesday,
right?
Same thing. I'm still feeling uneasy, but none of the symptoms have changed. There's still no vomiting, no diarrhea, no fever, you know, nothing that tells you something's wrong, but my gut was saying something isn't right.
Right.
And so when I called back to the doctor's office again on Wednesday, same thing. They were like, if any of those three things change, let us know. We'll get you right in. I'm like, okay. So by Friday, I was like, I can't. There's nothing changing, but I know something's wrong. And so I took him to the emergency room over in Centurion Lee Hospital, and they were like, okay, we've got a really sick baby here. And then literally, like, the ceiling dropped because they went from running all of these different tests to having to transport us by ambulance from Centurion Lee over to CHKD so they could better handle the situation. And he was getting spinal taps, and they were doing blood work and MRIs and CAT scans, just trying to figure out what was going on with him. And it was just really bad all of a sudden. And then we were in a regular room, and then they transported. So we have to take him to the PICU because he needs to be monitored more closely, because they were seeing when they put the little probes on his head, they were noticing abnormal brainwave activity. So they were noticing he was starting to have seizures. So I said, okay, all right. So we went from a regular room to now we're in that. Now, this is also, we're now going into week, at the end of week one now, being in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone from, it just was a myriad of emotions, you know, that we were going through, myself and my husband as well. For him to keep his sanity, he needed to be able to leave and go to work. He would come, he would go to work all day. He would come to the hospital and sit with us until 10, 11 o'clock at night, and then he would go drive home, get just a couple hours of sleep, get up first thing in the morning, go back, and then come back to that. For me, I was like, for my sanity, I can't leave. So I stayed in the room, head down the hall, and I stayed with Malik, and that was kind of how we just kind of tag-teamed it. We roughly wound up being in the hospital for about 2 weeks before we were released, because at one point he actually had developed a blood clot as well. And they were concerned about that traveling from the IV that they had. So he went from having the IV in his hand to his leg to his forehead. And that was a very jarring thing, especially for my husband, because I didn't have an opportunity to give him a warning that, hey, look, some stuff has happened, and the IV's in his head now, so you're going to see him. It's going to be in his head, you know. And so he came around the corner and was like, Tanya, what is going on? We kind of,
understood.
Talked him through that. And it was a really, really rough time for us. And as a result of kind of all of those different things that happened, we didn't even find out until years later what the cause of it. Apparently, he had a small case of reflux. It wasn't really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was, throwing up whole bottles. But apparently it was enough that with him refluxing just a little bit to kind of dry him out, and we didn't know it because he was a baby that they were like, well, he's supposed to be drinking 6 ounces by this age or something, and he was always at like 8 or 9. You know, he was a heavy drinker, so we didn't know that the refluxing was drying him because he's drinking, you know, so much. How does that work? And so that was a whole other thing of trying to work ourselves through that whole situation and figuring that out, and then, you know, even working through the emotions of it, because I will be 100% honest with you, I was upset with God, honestly.
Listen,
me and my husband, we've been together since high school. We didn't have no kids until we got married. Like, we did the way you said we were supposed to do it. Why are you taking us through this? You know?
Understood.
And, you know, I kind of went through a rough period myself. I was in a very dark place. I admittedly, I don't share this with a lot of people, but I told my husband, with us trying to get Malik on the move out there and help other families, I have to be more transparent with myself because I feel like that'll help those other individuals to work through some of the things that they've gone through and that they may be going through or that they may be getting ready to walk into. Just being in a dark place of trying to work through blaming myself, you know, for it happened. It wasn't my fault, but I just couldn't get out of my head that I that it wasn't my fault. And it, you know, it took me
you're
a whole
in mama
year.
Mode. Yeah.
Exactly. It took me an entire year to figure out, actually, no, it wasn't your fault. You saved his life because the doctor told me, said, Tanya, had you not brought him in on Friday, he may not have lived through Sunday.
That's a lot.
The doctor saying that for the click, like, I saved his life. And I thank God for one of my aunties, too. I was over at my aunt Deborah's house at the time. My mom was there, and, you know, we were just sitting talking. She was like, she said the same thing, like, he don't look too good. I'm like, yeah, see, we got to go in. Somebody else seeing it, too, and I'm seeing it. I thought it was just me, you know, so I'm grateful for, you know, going in and kind of trusting my mommy gut and you know, because, like I said, in the end, it saved his life. And we've had to deal with some different disabilities and different abilities, I like to say. So he doesn't walk. He doesn't – he has a couple words. He does a little sign language. He can shake his head yes or no. But for the most part, he's nonverbal. But he finds a way to kind of communicate with us, let us know what he wants and doesn't want. But, again, that's another part of the, you know, the struggle, too, with – having to transport and everything with him because I'm only 5 foot. Like, I'm just barely 5 feet even. And he's about taller than I am now. And I'm like, ooh, okay, get him up and down the steps and all that kind of stuff. And even when it came to trying to get him an accessible van, those are things that they don't cover through insurance. They don't help you. They don't – there's no grant money out there that, you know, you can try to apply for different grants to organizations, which, thank God, we were able to link up. You know, and I used to sit up midnight, 2, 3 in the morning, just online researching. Let me find somebody that can help us out. And, you know, we were able to be blessed with assistance there. And then we sold donuts. Mm-hmm. We sold Malik on the Moon T-shirts, and we got that money. And it was such a God-sent thing because I passed by Mobility Works in Norfolk all the time. And the Holy Spirit told me to go in there this one particular day. Just go check and see, get some prices, kind of see, you know, what they're doing with as far as their used accessible vehicles. Because I knew we couldn't afford a brand new one. And they had literally just pulled one in an hour before we got there. That was nothing but God. An hour before we got there, the guy said, we haven't even had a chance to, like, put the price tag on it yet. And I said, well, don't put it on there because that's going to be mine. We gonna claim that now. Don't even put it on there. Listen. I'm here for it. It's coming. It's for me. It's for my baby. And so they were really great over at Mobility Works. They worked with us, and you know, we were able to kind of get funds together and get them the van. So we're in the process right now of trying to get it back fixed because it broke down on us. But God still provides. Yeah. He's gonna make a way like He always does. Malik, he's a jewel. He's our oldest son. They say he'll be 12 years old tomorrow. We also have an 8-year-old Malachi, who has a different set of medical things. He has sickle cell SC. And then we got baby girl. I just had her 16 months ago, and she is a little jewel. She's like, I call her my little mini me. She's a little feisty little baby. We call her boss baby. She definitely thinks she wants to play.
This is why I wanted you to come on tonight, because it's such a powerful story, and that for those of you all who are in our listening audience who go through, understand that you're not alone and that there are people out there who are able to offer assistance, who give you ideas, all of that. And I could not go another week without having Tanya on to just talk and share her story. But I know we got a half an hour, so I got to move on to my questions so that those of you all who are listening, basically, Tanya, can you just give your handles and ways in which people can connect with you before I go on to my second question, so that when we're off the line, they will have that information to be able to reach out to you. So you go ahead on and give them, our listening audience, ways in which they can connect with you.
Definitely. You can reach out to me via Facebook. Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A, Rollins, R-O-L-L-I-N-S, Shadley, S-H-A-D-L-E-Y. You can hit that. We have a Malik on the Move Facebook page as well, that we try to keep everybody updated as to what's going on. And I'll definitely share in a little bit what made Malik on the Move kind of come about. I'll share that with everyone shortly. But also my phone number, 757-816-3413. My email address, TanyaShadley@gmail.com. That's TanyaShadley at gmail.com. So you can reach out to me. You can hit me on Instagram, Tanya Shadley. There's a couple different ways you can reach out to me. Like I said, Facebook, my phone number, email address. I'm literally an open book. I love being able to help those who need resources, information, I mean, about anything, whether it's insurance, whether it's, you know, diapers for your child, and because some people don't even know that those things are covered, you know, like different resources that are out in the community. I'm all about trying to help people find resources to connect them to what they may or may not know about that is out there for us, because they do not advertise and put out there on banners and billboards what we have access to, but it's some stuff out there that we have access to. They don't give us a lot. They don't give us everything, but there's some stuff that's out there that, you know, even that little bit, if not even having to, you know, having to purchase the diapers, could be a benefit to someone else's home. So there's a couple different ways you can get a hold of me.
Wow, wonderful. Again, and the correction on your name, Shadley. I said Stately, but it's Shadley. Thank you so much.
Yes,
so let me go on with our next question here, because I could go all night long with you, because I keep popping up with questions in my head, but let me stick to my sheet. And for those of you all who are listening in, I'll make sure that that she'll give that her handles and information out again before we end this show at 7. So it's just a pleasure. But I heard you say so much, and I understand, because I deal with a husband who suffers with PTSD and seizures and all of that stuff. And it takes a special woman. That's why you're my shero for tonight. But what are some tips for parents dealing with children with special needs? Because it takes a lot from you. And you mentioned that dark place, and then being in that space and coming out of that space. But so for those of you all who understand and know what we, Tanya dealing with a child, I'm dealing with my husband, what we go through. So what are some tips that you can give parents for dealing with children with special needs or special abilities, shall we say?
I would say one of the main tips I would say, especially if you're dealing with a two-parent household, you have to keep the foundation of you and your husband strong, or you and your significant other, the child's, you know, father, mother, what have you, strong, because it is a very trying experience just dealing on a day-to-day. One would just be married and just being together as a couple, but when you tack on the responsibilities of decision-making for, you know, supplies or medications or, you know, reactions to medications and things like that, it can be very wearing and tearing on the relationship. And so making sure that you have that firm foundation amongst the two of you is going to be imperative. Communication is going to be key. I am a firm believer in writing down things. So when I go to these doctor's offices and things like that, I have a list of questions that I want to ask them. Sometimes it's a matter of me even going there and saying, listen, I'm not even sure what I want to ask you, but I know there's something that you can share with me that I don't know. Bring it on. You know, give it to me. Or give me some homework. Give me something to go home and, you know, and research about. Because sometimes when it comes to certain diagnoses and stuff, we can get overwhelmed with the information. And sometimes those doctors and nurses and things like that, they can kind of break that thing down for us, so it kind of helps us to understand a little bit more. And you don't get so overwhelmed, because there's something online for everything. And that thing can get in your head if you read too much. You know, so I like to try to do those things. So, like I said, firm foundation amongst, you know, spouses or what have you, writing information down, communication is huge in my book. And something that I'm literally confessing now and working better on is finding time for myself. I can say 12 years later, I just now got it. And that's way too long. So if something that I can say from someone who's listening in, I need you to get this now before you get to year 12, okay? I don't care if you're in year 6, in year 2, in year 8. I need you to catch that before, because we try to give so much, but we miss out on the fact that if we're not at our best, we can't give our best. I've got to be at my best in order to give my husband, my children, my parents, my siblings, my community, you know, whatever, to give everybody my best. I have to be at my best. And so finding those times, I literally just put a challenge out to some ladies on Facebook. I said I need at least 10 women to join me. There was a form that I had gotten from a women's workshop, and it just basically said self-care, 30 days of self-care.
Yeah.
And every day is different things listed. Take a nap, read a book, write a poem, do a coloring sheet.
Exactly.
Bake a cake. You know, just something that's just for me. And I'm going to make sure that over the course of the month of February that everything is checked off of the list. So finding those times to be by yourself and, you know, just kind of center yourself and take a deep breath. And, you know, because it can get overwhelming at times. So those are definitely some of the main tips I can give, you know, for those that may be in a similar situation with loved ones.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's so much. You kind of did a twofer for me. You answered the other question that was on how you take care of yourself. And I think those moments, and you said it really, that you become your number one priority, because if you're not at your top, at the peak, you won't be able to give out at the on the level that you have to give out, because you're giving out so much.
Yes.
And I know for myself,
yes,
I felt so drained and not really and alone because of the fact that you don't know the other women. I would love for us to do something at our office where we have some women to come and we just do a pampering day, Tanya. That's something we're going to talk offline about, that where we could just have some women come to the office and just talk, food, do some stuff. But, again, that just came to mind. I'll leave that alone because we got 10 minutes, and I want to make sure I get to these other two questions. I just want to pivot a little bit and talk a little bit about the nonprofit that you're wanting to start. Why now? Because of the fact that I know that's where your heart is. You're so passionate about it. It comes across when you talk about what it is that you're doing. And so now your ultimate goal is to go in it and start the nonprofit. So talk a little bit about the nonprofit. And so that we can get to our last question. But go ahead, Tanya.
Okay. Well, basically, Malika and the Move started out as a way for me to just kind of keep people updated as to Malik's progress. We were going to the early intervention program, Head Start program, things like that. And Malik was making such an impact on people who, you know, he came in contact with. And that it was like people were like, we want to keep up with you. We want to keep up with you. How you're doing? And my husband and I are very firm believers that getting Malik out in the community. The only way the community can be exposed to those that are differently able is to give them that exposure. The kids that were at his previous school, he's in middle school right now at Corporate Landing, but he was at Diamond Springs in elementary school. And those kids, hands down, will be more well-rounded because of the experience that they had with having that exposure. You could tell the kids who went on a field trip that didn't have the exposure because of the, you know, the looks or the what's wrong with him or those kind of things. And I tell parents all the time, listen, I got tools for you to cater to that conversation. There's some days that I don't mind being all things special needs, but there's some days I don't feel like right?
Yeah.
And so now I know how to cater the conversation to address and answer, and then also whether I want to keep going with the conversation or to kind of end the conversation. And not in a rude way or anything, still addresses the conversation because, like I said, kids are sponges. They learn. And again, if I'm teaching that child in that moment, the parent is listening within earshot. So I'm teaching them too, you know, at the same time. So if Malik on the Move started out as a way to update people, and then I realized, man, I've got people inboxing me like, okay, what do you do when a child asks you what's wrong with your son? Or what do you do if he's drooling and you're out in public? Or what do you do if, you know, and I was like, you know what, I need to be able to reach out to more people. I've got to turn this thing, this is growing, it's growing into something more. And so I wanted to be able to be a place where people can not only have resources, where they can, you know, be able to find information of where to go, about different things that they may be dealing with, whether it's equipment or, you know, supplies or anything like that. But it also birthed two children's books, which I'm in the process of trying to get published and printed. I've gotten the books already illustrated and the storyline is done. I just have to get them published and printed. And I'm super excited about it because I was having a conversation with my 8-year-old about Malik's seizures. And I said, how can I make this, you know, more simple so that he can understand it? And so I wrote the books about trying to explain differences and then seizures. And so it kind of broke this whole thing, and the little characters look just like, you know, my sons and everything. And I said, well, God, I see kind of what you're doing with this. So from the books, I want to be able to take that and make a puppet show that I basically can take into the school system and you know that. So I was like, this thing is really growing into some more things. So from just one of the key people updated, it's birthed something else. So I'm super excited about getting this nonprofit going.
I'm super excited, and we have 5 minutes left, and I want to get this question in here so that we can have. That's why I want to stay in contact. I'm probably going to have you to come back on the show again, Tanya. But
sure.
that day of pampering for women, I think, is so important. Here's my last question because we only got 5 minutes. What special events are you doing, and what advice would you give to parents to get involved in the care of their children? I know that's kind of a twofer, but if you can take just a couple of minutes, because I want you to give the information about how to connect with you again, but any events that you got going on.
Okay, well, right now we're in the process of getting the Malik Wanna Move T-shirt fundraiser going. We've got some T-shirts that we're getting printed up that we'll have those on sale, and they'll be on the Malik Wanna Move page as well as my page on TRS Productions, as well as my Tanya Rollins Shadley page. And so we're looking forward to doing that. And also doing little things like little skate nights that I'll have, because I'll have a relationship with Haygood Skating Center to be able to rent out the building and then have those with wheelchairs, walkers, you know, gait trainers, anything, put on your skates, roll that walker on the floor, you know, get that wheelchair, roll it on the floor. We're going to have a, you know, good skate night, things like that. So I'm looking forward to having those opportunities. I feel like if I can get the individuals to come out and hang out with us first, then I'll get them comfortable enough to go out in the community without us. But first, I just got to get them out the house and come hang with us first. So those are a couple of things that we have going on. Malik's going to go do laser tag on Monday, and he's got a birthday party coming on Sunday. He's going to be at the Cinema Cafe tomorrow. So he's got a lot of good stuff going on to celebrate him this weekend. And I'm very excited about it again. All my handles, Tanya Rollins Shadley on Facebook, Malik on the Move on Facebook, 757-816-3413, my cell phone number, Tanya Shapley at Gmail. Contact me any way you can get in contact with Ms. Veronica. She can get a hold of me. But like, I'm open book, and I'll come back on the show anytime you want. I'm very excited to be able to share our testimony.
I think it's just wonderful that that you're doing this. And I know Francine and I will be definitely reaching out. And for those of you all who need to connect with Francine, you can go to www.issuesconcerningwomen.org. And, of course, if you need to contact me, it's the micrononprofitnetwork.org. And you can just hit us up at info@micrononprofit.org. For any emails, questions, or what have you. I'm going to be probably, as I said, I'll be getting back with Tanya, because I really just feel that these moments where women are together who have special needs, children or spouse, loved ones, or what, because it wreaks havoc on you. And I think that reaching out to other women to do something is just great. And Tanya, I said, I know we're down here the last minute or so, and I know our announcer will be counting us down, but it has been just a pleasure talking with you. Your story is so powerful, and I know that there are resources in the community, and that you are yourself is a resource. And for those of you all who've listened to her, I would just challenge you all to give and support in whatever way that you can. I know that there's a lot of people out here. There's a great need out here for so many people, but there is also a need here for this young baby, and we certainly want to be supportive of him, and we want to continue to have this dialogue, because I think it's missing. I think that narrative where a woman is coming on talking about it, it's just amazing, Tanya. And so I would say, just before we leave, if you can just give your telephone number again as well. Go ahead.
Yes, sure. 757-816-3413. And my Cash App, in case you might want to be a blessing, send a donation to help with the van or even with the nonprofit. It is money sign T Shadley. And I will say, I want to end with this. Know that sometimes the situation that you're going through, it has nothing to do with you. Sometimes God is trusting you because the person who's watching you shoulders isn't strong enough to carry the weight that you're able to carry. He's giving you it because he trusts you. It took me a while to get it, but he had to give me Malik because he trusts me with Malik. Kind of everybody can't handle this life that I live. It's not easy.
Yeah.
I know we make it look easy, but it's not easy. But because God can trust you with such a special gift, that's why he gave us this gift. So I'm greatly appreciative. And thank you so much again, Ms. Veronica, for having me. And I look forward to working with you.
We look forward to working with you. So you all be blessed. Have a great night. Take care. We'll see you all next Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Be blessed and go out and do something good. Don't forget Malika on the Move. We love you all. Take care and have a great night. Bye-bye now.
Good night.